The text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading for this Reformation Sunday from John chapter 8. In particular, Jesus speaking to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Jews then answer back to Jesus, trying to teach Jesus a lesson on the Old Testament. "We are the children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone." Well, today we're going to reflect on the Old Testament and how the Old Testament, how we should picture it. As New Testament Christians, as Lutherans on Reformation Sunday, we're going to see that the Old Testament and the Reformation are intimately tied together, about God always working for his people. "So his grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
If you abide in my word. Today, as we celebrate the Reformation, what we celebrate is that God uses people. At various times and in many places, God uses people like Martin Luther to again bring his word to the forefront of the Christian church. And not just the word of God, but also the teachings, the correct, the truth of that word, that there is truth and there are lies. The Holy Spirit at the Reformation, once again, used people to make the promise of freedom in Christ, that we are free by faith. The Holy Spirit once again made that the main proclamation of the church, that we are saved not by what we do, but by what Christ has done, and that the very righteousness of God is yours by faith. Now, we as Lutherans, for celebrating the Reformation, we really don't believe that the Reformation was so unique. In fact, we believe that what was done in the Reformation should be done every Sunday. The freeing word of God should be preached and taught to God's people in all its truth and purity, so that we may find comfort in the promises of God in Christ Jesus. So what do I mean when I say we don't believe the Reformation is really unique? Well, we can look at this historically. As I said, in the Old Testament, God was always working for his people. God always desired for his people to believe and trust in his mercy and provision. When the people of God did not abide in his word, and believe it or not, the Israelites and God's people in the Old Testament did not always abide in his word. They strayed. And this is what happens when we don't abide in the word. That's why Jesus warns us today in John 8, "Abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Because in the Old Testament, God had given his people his word. He had given them through the priests and through the prophets. Moses specifically, chosen by God to deliver the Ten Commandments. And the Israelites carried the Ten Commandments along with them because they wanted to abide in God's word. Not only that, but God also gave them a liturgical calendar to mark the promises and deliverance of God. They had the Passover. They had the Feast of Booths. They had Yom Kippur. They had the daily sacrifices. These are things that God commanded by his word, and they were always tied to his promise of deliverance. Well, the Israelites, what happened when they did not abide in his word? Well, they would worship false God. They would begin to believe lies. They wanted to live a life just like all the other unbelieving nations. They forgot God's word. Or they taught falsely about God's word. There are a few examples today that I want to bring to your memory or point out to you that were very much like the Reformation, when God's word was taken from his people and then God raised someone up to bring that word back in all its truth. Now, the Israelites, after they were wandering in the desert, after they had been through all of that, had been given God's word, after they had been, after they had seen all the other nations, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8, the Israelites, they called out to God and said, God, we want a government. Can you believe that? God had ruled them by priests and by prophets, and the Israelites turned to God around 1000 BC, and they said, God, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. We want to be ruled. We want someone to fight for us. And God said, no, I promised I would fight for you. And besides, if you want a king, the king will tax you. The king is going to conscript your sons in military service. A king is going to take your daughters and they will serve him. He'll take your land. He'll tax all of your harvests, at least 10%. And the people said, we want a king. God relented and gave them a king. This began a long and treacherous process of wicked kings not abiding in God's word. Not only did the kings not do what God had commanded them, but they also did not let the people abide in God's word. They stopped the Passover celebration. They forgot the law of God. They stopped the public teaching of the word of God. Some kings went so far, you know, in the Reformation, we celebrate Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the church door. In the Israelites' day, they had kings who actually nailed the doors of God's house shut. The Israelites, they wanted to be just like all the other nations, and they became just like all the other nations. They had wicked kings, and they no longer abided in God's word. But not all the kings were unfaithful. There were a few good ones, and that's why I mention all this morning. The reason for this is that we need to see the Reformation as a continuation of what God does for his people. And what he continues to do for us today, because we are like sheep who are prone to wander. That we as sinners, we are yet still fighting against our flesh, and we are no different than our ancestors in the faith. That just like them, we have to abide in God's word. We have to abide in Christ because the devil is always out there. The devil is always looking to partner with our sinful flesh and to steal away the truth of God's word, to steal away the assurance that God is, how did we sing in the hymn, he fights by our side. One of the good kings that God sent was King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah restored the Passover. He again restored the liturgical practice that God had commanded the people to do. Hezekiah, he pulled the nails out of the doors. He opened up the house of God again. He tore down the pagan altars. And do you think there were maybe some folks saying, Hezekiah, we don't want to disturb the peace. Hezekiah was an ancient Martin Luther, but it was the same Holy Spirit. Hezekiah's reign was short-lived. The people did not abide. They did not receive God's word. And the king who followed Hezekiah, his oldest son Manasseh, he again took away the word of God from the people. The people were again in bondage because their king Manasseh led the people away from God's word. And then his son Amon, he continued to be entrenched in unfaithfulness, and he only reigned for 2 years. But then again, another reformer came, King Josiah. He reinstituted the Passover again. He publicly read from God's word among the people, and they were taught. The people were freed. Josiah reigned for 55 years, and then again, what do you think happened? The people were not faithful. the people again did not abide in God's word, and God had had enough, and he sent the Babylonians in 586 BC to destroy Jerusalem, to destroy the temple, and the people were led into captivity for 70 years. During their enslavement in Babylon, they couldn't celebrate their festivals. They couldn't have sacrifices. All of the things that God had commanded them to do, the things which they took for granted, God took them away. Well, in 539 then, the Israelites were allowed to return to their homeland. Not by a priest, but by a king. King Cyrus of Persia, who defeated the Babylonians. God raised up King Cyrus. He even foretold this to reform the church, to allow the Israelites the freedom to return home again. And then their priests, their prophets, their scribes, God's people were led by the likes of Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Haggai the prophet. They were like Luther. They were given by God to lead the people to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall, to restore again the Passover, the Feast of Booths, the reading of scriptures among God's people, so that they could abide in God's word. Can you imagine if we were prevented from celebrating Christmas for 70 years? 70 years of silence. And then a reformation, a bringing again of the truth of God's word to his people. And so it goes. So it goes with God's people today. And in Luther's day, we are just like the Israelites, all too ready to give up the word of God for a little comfort in this life. We are sinners who too easily give up the truth. Or even there are those who say, well, there's more than one truth. You have your truth, we have ours. How can you say there is truth, they tell us? Well, they're arguing with Jesus. That's why we have our reading today. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we have a wonderful argument. We have a wonderful argument in this day and age when people say there is no truth, or how can you know the truth? How can you claim to have the truth of the gospel? And we say, because Jesus says so. We are sinners who live in a world that is dead set on keeping the truth of God silent. So we must ask, what is that truth that has always been the target of the world and the devil? The truth that God desires his people to abide in his word, to be saved by faith. This isn't a New Testament invention. This is what it was in the Old Testament. For the Israelites, over and over again, God promised to them, even though you are in bondage, even though you are in slavery, I will deliver you. Not by your might, he says, but by my spirit. Israel, in her sacrifices, her festivals, they were not saved because they did these. They were saved because they heard the promises of God's deliverance and they believed. And when those promises, when the word, when the festivals and sacrifices, when they were taken away, God was still calling them to believe in a difficult time. Because when God will send his word, the word made flesh, when God sends his word to his people, the government and the false church attack the word made flesh. Jesus was born, and the world and the devil was dead set on taking Jesus away from God's people. And he was taken away. Jesus was arrested and killed on the cross because That's what this fallen world is always trying to do, to separate us from God's Word. But again, true to God's form, Jesus, the Word made flesh, He was restored, not by anybody else, but by Himself. A good king, a faithful priest, Jesus rose from the dead, just as God showed His faithfulness to never leave His people on Easter. God did what He always does. He came back and He saved His people. To save us from believing lies, Jesus comes to be the truth. He says, "The truth will set you free." And then in John 14, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus has saved us from all bondage, even the bondage of sin. And that's what the Reformation was and is. That in Luther's day, the church was taken captive by a false teaching of works righteousness. God raised up Luther just like He did Moses, just like He did Josiah, Hezekiah, and all the reformers of old. The Reformation is nothing out of character of God, but a freeing of God's people from whatever captivity we face. Whether it's an out-of-control government like the Israelites faced, or it's a wicked church that Luther faced, whether it's anxiety, sadness, or just a general malaise, God desires you to repent and believe that He's merciful, that He will take care of you. He will take care of your family because He is kind. He is your Savior, and He will never forsake us. All the stories in the Old Testament, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the wall, the restoring of the sacrifices, all of these were pointing to the one fulfillment in Christ Jesus. These events were all shadows of Christ, who is the substance. And we must remember, there is yet also the warning for us that God had for His people. There is the warning for us not to neglect this truth. Don't let the Word of God slip through your fingers. Don't become complacent like the Israelites. Don't allow the liar, the murderer from the beginning, the devil, don't allow his lies to penetrate your faith. St. Paul warned the Corinthians in Corinthians chapter 10, after reminding them of the challenges the Israelites they faced in the desert, St. Paul says this, "These things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." My dear friends, the time is short and the days are wicked. And God calls us to be vigilant with His Word, to not settle for lies, to constantly be evaluating, to be hearing, to be a hearer of God's Word. So today, the celebration of the Reformation, it's important because it reminds us why we do what we do and why we have hope, because God will always preserve His church. It is why we confess our sins together. It's why we sing Lutheran hymns. It's why we confess and why we rejoice in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, because it is these that God uses to reform us on a regular basis. That He reforms us through forgiveness and our faith is strengthened. It is through the sacraments that God is with His people. Yes, other churches will scoff at them, but we must never let them go. Do you think it was easy for Luther to endure standing in front of kings and princes? To know that he was very likely to be killed for the very words that he spoke, for only standing on the word of God. It was not easy, but God sustained him, and he will sustain us. Do you think it was easy for Hezekiah, for Nehemiah, for Ezra, for all those who fought the good fight ahead of us? It was not easy, but God was their fortress, and he is our fortress. He will be with his people as he always has. So rejoice. Rejoice and give thanks, dear Christians, one and all. For today, God has freed you for your sins, freed you from your sins. He is reforming you into his image, like he always has and like he always will. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And may that peace which surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.